I'd like today to speak about the scarlet cord as a symbol of redemption. But I'd also like to speak of it as a symbol of the Christian's spiritual inheritance. I'll seek to show that through Scripture today, that this cord speaks of both things. So if you could turn to me to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Now this happens, if you remember when Joshua happens, remember they come out of Egypt, they go through the wilderness, they go through the Red Sea first, and then they go through the wilderness, then they go through the Jordan River, and then they come up to the city of Jericho. And so this story happens as Israel going in to conquer the land. And so the first mission, there's three big missions into the land. And this is the first plunge into the land. And chapter 2 of Joshua, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent from Shittim two spies, saying, 'Go to the land, even Jericho.' And they went, and they came to a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lay down there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come hither tonight from the children of Israel to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men who came to thee, who have come to thy house, for they have come to search out all the land.' And the woman had taken and concealed the two men, and said, 'Yes, the men did come, but I knew not whence they were.' And it came to pass, when the gate was to be closed at dark, the men went out, and I know not whither they have gone. Pursue after them quickly, and ye shall overtake them.' But she had taken them up to the roof and secreted them under the stalks of flax, which she had laid out on the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, to the fords. But when they who had pursued after them had gone out, they closed the gate. And before they had lain down, she went up to them upon the roof, and she said to them, to the men, 'I know that Jehovah has given you the land, that the dread of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard that Jehovah dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you, when you came out of the land out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. We heard of it, and our heart melted, and there remained no more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. And now, I pray you, swear to me by Jehovah, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with me, my father's house, that you give me a certain sign, and that you will let my father live, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that belong to them, and deliver our souls from death.' And the men said to her, 'Our lives shall pay for yours if you do not make our business known. It shall be when Jehovah shall give us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the city wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, 'Go to the mountain, that the pursuers may not meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterwards go your way.' And the men said to her, 'We will be quit of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we shall come into the land, thou shalt bind in the window this line of scarlet thread, by which thou hast led us down, that thou shalt gather to thee in the house thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household. And it shall be that whosoever goes out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we shall be innocent. But everyone who shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou make known this our business, we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went to the mountain, and remained there 3 days, until the pursuers had returned. And the pursuers sought them all the way and found them not. And the two men returned and came down from the mountain and went over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and related to them everything that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, of a surety, Jehovah has given the whole land into our hands, and even all the inhabitants of the land faint because of us. So you see this picture of this terrible city of Jericho. It was a wicked, terrible city. And you see this picture of coming judgment onto this wicked and terrible city. And we see a whole God's judgment about to fall on the whole land. Well, we look out in the world today. This world that we see, this land that we see, one day will be burnt up in judgment. All the high towers, all of man's accomplishments, all of their famous art, all of their famous everything swallowed up. One day everything will come under the judgment of God. Now, we can believe that, or we cannot believe that. But we have here God's word. Okay? And God's word tells us the world is coming under judgment. God's word has shown us, has clearly stated this to us. And I'd also like to point out the seriousness of the rejecting of God's word. It's a very, very serious thing. And we'll see in this chapter what is the consequence of what happens to this city. So it says here that they sent the two spies. Now, I know they sent these two spies, and they did get a report that was really encouraging. You'll notice that at the end. Surely God has given us this whole land. Surely that report really, really encouraged the people. Okay? But I've got thinking about what we read in Genesis 19. In Genesis 19, the angels say to Lot, flee, we cannot act until you are gone. You remember where he argues with God from 50 down to 10. But I believe God can't destroy a city with one righteous person in it. And guess what? There was one unlikely, but I believe righteous person in Jericho. There is one person who believed in God in Jericho. How do we know? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. What does Hebrews 11 tell us? It says in verse 31 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with the unbelieving, having received the spies in peace. The action of receiving the spies in peace. Now turn to James chapter 2, verse 24. You see that a man is justified on the principle of works and not on the principle of faith only. But was not in like manner also Rahab the harlot justified on the principle of works when she had received the messengers and put them forth by another way? There was some action that she really believed. She took in people who were enemies of her people. She was acting as a traitor would, really. She is putting her life at risk. She treated them well, and she sent them away safely and peaceably. This is an amazing thing. So, James is saying that for real faith to be there, you have to believe what God says, but you have to act on it. And there's so many. He says, well, what if you only just accept intellectually what the scripture says about the coming judgment, about Jesus Christ, about his finished work? Well, if you don't act on it, it says even the demons believe and they are not saved. Judas went out preaching and he wasn't saved. We're to act on it. How do we know Moses was saved? He identified himself with the people of God. How do we know Abraham was saved? He gave up his son. When was he actually saved? Back here when he trusted God. He had the faith, but it showed up in his works when he offered his son. And I would challenge each one that we're to act on this faith. We're to act on it. James says we need to see those works, not to be saved, but as a result. That and that our faith becomes active. Her faith was active. I believe she was actually turned from her idols. She didn't believe in her idols anymore. And you get some remarkable statements of what she actually believed. Did you notice that? She says, in verse 9, look at that. She says, I know that Jehovah has given you the land. Wow. There's a lot of Israelites who died back there in the wilderness who didn't believe that. Why would she believe that? She says, and that the dread of you has fallen on all of us, and all the inhabitants faint because of you. For we heard that Jehovah, see, using the word of God, the Israelites' God, not her God, Jehovah dried up the waters. Mm-hmm. So picture it. All the Israelites were slaves. You ever hear of slaves getting free? Maybe one or two escaping. You never hear of, 2 million slaves escaping from the most powerful country that has been had dynasties for 30 dynasties, century upon century upon century, getting away. Truly it was the hand of God that all these slaves were freed. Truly it was the hand of God that the waters were crossed over. Truly it was the hand of God, not their military might or tactics, that won over Og and Sion, how they were destroyed utterly. This is what we have in the message of the cross, in the work of what Jesus. This is why it's a scarlet thread. It's to remind us. Back in Egypt, remember, they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And everybody that was in that house was safe. What if they had an Egyptian over for dinner? He was safe. He was in the house, okay? Who is safe here? He says, anybody goes out of that house, their blood is on their head. Rahab had some other friends over. It was anybody who was in her house. Under, we might say, the blood. Anybody that trusted the blood. And did she understand this? Did she understand that the scarlet meant the Passover meant the... No, but she did believe that God was the true God. And she put all her chips in, and she trusted him. That's what he wants from you and from me. She had only a little light, and she put it all in. We have great light from the scriptures here. great evidence from the scriptures. And people are holding back. Are you holding back? She didn't. Put it all away. She's going, yeah. Could easily, she could have been the one dying there that night for taking the spies in, whatever. She put them all in. So, with this little bit of light, she acted. And her faith was rewarded. Can you imagine how happy she would be after all the walls came down in Jericho, that her mother and father and all her friends and all these people were all safe? Can you imagine her joy? What about you? What about me? How many have we appealed to come under the shelter of the blood of Christ? How many have we pleaded with? You know, it's such a contrast to Lot pleading with his sons-in-law. No power. Nobody's coming. But she is. What unlikely. In this unlikely place, this prostitute, this Rahab, is actually a pearl. And I believe God could not destroy that city until he got that pearl. And today, he's appealing to you, even children, he's appealing today to you to put your trust in Jesus. This whole world is going to be destroyed. And we want to be just as happy as Rahab was when the walls all came down, that all her family, all her friends were safe. Mm-hmm. We want that with you, dear children. Mm-hmm. And we want it with our neighbors, friends, acquaintances. We want it. People at work. She is bold. I don't only want to be saved. I want this, 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 this. God loves boldness and faith. God loves to reward bold faith. She's pleading for others. She doesn't just have herself before her. Oh, this is powerful, powerful section. Start to think on these lines. Start to think. If I believe that just as Jericho is going to be destroyed imminently, that I need to act. I need to be there and seeking to draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here that she went up and she said to him, I know that Jehovah has given you the land. God has given everybody who puts his faith in the Lord Jesus an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance. He gave them a physical inheritance in Israel, given them the land. That's a great thing. She had it in her heart. And guess what? She got it. Years later, a prince of Judah gives his son to be her husband. And from that son came Boaz. And from Boaz came Obed. And Obed came Jesse. And Jesse came David. Did God have the thought of King David, or king, a man after his own heart, as an afterthought when Saul failed, when they made a bad mistake? Already the wheels are being set in motion in this chapter to bring about King David. Destiny is here too. By grabbing this rope, by putting it in her window, she was grabbing not only redemption, but a future. And a future of God's ordering, of God's purpose. And it was glorious. It says of Rahab, she dwelt in the middle of Israel. She was in the thick of it. She became, her family, they became part of the, they didn't live on the edges of Israel and just sort of had to do with Israel and Jessica, no, she got a husband, she got family, she got blessing. She came into the line of kings, came into the line of the Messiah. Awesome. You see it in Matthew 1:5. In the line of the Messiah, grasping this rope, acting on faith. You don't know where acting on faith will lead, and I can't tell you. But you never will find out until you act on faith as to what your destiny will be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You won't know. Right. When you act in faith, take a step towards your God-given destiny. It's different for each one of us. Mm-hmm. In the same and another way, we're part of God's people, part of the grand narrative, but we have different roles to play.
Mm.
But you won't know that. So you grab it for yourself. So said, we heard of it, and our heart melted, and no more spirit remained for Jehovah, your God. He is the God in heaven above and earth beneath. This lady is marvelous. I can see the spies going like, wow. We just needed a bed for the night. Yeah, it's a seedy place for sure. It's like going downtown. One of those, what was it? Paul worked in this place called the Cobalt Hotel.
American Hotel.
It was like, oh, gas. You're afraid to touch any of the faucets or anything for fear of some communicable disease. It was like terrible, and people trucking in and out of that place. Anyways. And, when I was selling chemicals, I went to one place. Anyways, the seediest, the worst spot. There was something precious there.
Mm-hmm.
There's something precious in these folks that you've taken up from time to time.
Mm.
I still remember that preaching to all those drunks and loose women on your deck there. And I go for it, Phil. But there's some jewels there. There's something precious there. Don't overlook those jewels. God sees them. Present the gospel. You'll be surprised who responds.
Mm.
I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Then it says here, He is the God of the heavens above and the earth beneath.
Mm.
There is a great and wondrous dignity to the God we have to deal with. He is God of the heavens above, the earth beneath. And there was this one crazy new-age lady back in the 80s or 90s. She would stand on the beach and she'd shout, I am God. You can imagine that. Shirley Lane, I think was her name. She'd yell on the beach, I am God. Can you imagine God in his heaven and his true dignity? Oh, what was that? Can I hear something? You know how they do with those films now. They go from very big to very, very, very small. Even this little speck of sand there. I am God. Do you know how ridiculous that is?
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing that every time we set this book aside. Adam did that when he grabbed, I'm going to decide what is right and wrong. He's saying, I am God. No, you're not. You're the creature. He's the creator. Oh, it's good to keep that in our souls. Keep your view of Scripture high. Keep your view of God high. He is the possessor we had earlier. That's what Abraham came with, the heavens and the earth. There is a great glory. But the thing is, this great and glorious God is interested in this prostitute in this wicked city. He's interested in you and me. He is actually interested. I believe these spies were there because he couldn't bring judgment on Jericho until he got that jewel.
Mm.
Wonderful God.
Mm.
Compassionate God. taking the despised, broken, failed lives and making something special out of them. Talk about taking a broken life and making it special. How did it become special? She acted in faith. How can your broken life and my broken life come special? Acting in faith. Confident in the Word of God. Confident in His goodness. And it says here, she says, give me a certain sign. Give me a certain sign. And that's why I put this here, kids. This is a certain sign. A certain sign. It also speaks that God has chosen that there is one way that we can be saved, not many ways. How many doors was there into the ark? Do you remember? One door. How many doors was there into the tabernacle in the desert?
One.
Right? How many different ways could Naaman the Syrian be saved from his leprosy? One. He had to go seven times into the Jordan River. He says, what about plan B? Can't I go over here in the rivers in Syria? Was plan B okay? No. He'd never get healed. Sorry, you may have some idea of another plan in order to get saved. God has said it's through Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way. All through Scripture, it's just one way. How many ways was there through the Red Sea? Four different ones to pick from? One. Through death. Through the death of Jesus. Through the suffering of Christ. There was no other way for us to be saved or redeemed. A price had to be paid. There has always only been one way. And then you have to ask yourselves. The men said, put this in the window and you'll be saved. Did the men save them? Did the men save Rahab? When the wall came down, was it the men who saved Rahab? No, it was God who noticed. It was God who saved that one house. In Israel, in Egypt, it was God who saw every house with the red. And God saved it. I can be like a preacher. You can be like a preacher as believers. We can say that God will honor this symbol, this seal, the work of Christ. God will honor it. But when the day comes, God, it will show. And it was God who honored this seal. We can point to it. We cannot save. So she waited 2 weeks before she put it up in her window, right? Waited 1 year before she put it up in her window. No, she put it up right away. That's important too. You put it up right away. Because we don't even know leaving this door, we got in a car accident, we die, you know. How soon? The Lord may come in judgment. There is no time. She immediately puts it in the window. That's a fine thing. Immediately to put it in the window. And then she sends them away in peace. I like the strategy. She doesn't send them down towards the obvious spot to run back to Israel. She sends them go up in the mountain and spend a couple days there. Then all these guys frustrated and didn't find them come back. She gives them enough food for in the mountain, and they come down and around and join them. She's a wise woman, too. Divinely instructed. They're being led. They're coming under her directions. This doesn't make sense, but they must have had a sense. Obviously, our meeting this woman was of God. Obviously, God has revealed himself, and they now are taking from her. A new believer can instruct you and me. A new believer can bring the Word of God to us. What a wonderful thing it is. God is not limited. They come under the direction of Rahab. Wow. We followed Rahab's instructions and we lived. She said, all that you say I will do. She was obedient. It's called the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith saves. And it did. What a wonderful thing. Now, she sent them on their way. They departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the windows. Well, you got at least 2 days, right? The guys are up in the hills. 2 days. No, she bound it right away. I like it when somebody confesses Christ to their friends and neighbors. I heard of a young guy, some really disgusting singer called Manson or something. All these open brethren went down to this Manson concert. Thousands of young folks handed out tracts. One guy, totally convicted, didn't even go in. Dropped his stuff, read the scriptures, then just emailed, came to salvation, emailed all of his friends, told them what an incredible thing it was. He had real spiritual life in Christ. Yeah, what a wonderful thing. And then they went, they came to the mountain, they remained there 3 days, the pursuers returned, they found them not. The two men returned, came down from the mountain, went over to Joshua the son of Nun and related to him everything that had happened to them. What a wonderful thing it is to hear of God's work. What a wonderful thing it is to be encouraged to go into the land. To have the sense that God's already gone before. And they said to Joshua, of a surety the whole land into our hands. Even all the inhabitants faint because of us. Now I'd like to turn to Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. I had heard that there is a connection between this thought of discord and the thought of inheritance. And so I started digging. So this isn't my stuff. This is just from digging. But it was just really precious to me to find this out for myself. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. Be ever mindful of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which he made with Abraham, the oath unto Isaac, for he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute for Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee I will give the land of Canaan. What does it say, the next line in your translation, Phil?
As your portion for an inheritance.
This one says lot. The idea in the note, it even says in the note in English, is line. And the Hebrew word is cord. Now, the old English thread was also cord, but now for us a thread. Can you imagine being lowered by a thread? No, we would think of a big bus. The idea is cord. So, the cord. And I'll just read you a little Bible dictionary note I found on that. Can you turn with me to Psalm 16? Verse 6, I'll read verse 5. Jehovah is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16, verse 6. Or portions, see Joshua. What they did, says here, the lot of your inheritance, literally the cord of your inheritance, this expression came from the ancient measurement of land, and it was divided by a cord. Do you see that? You know, they'd measure land, they'd take the cord, and one cord, two cord, three cord. Okay, they had measured the land by cord. And it's divided that way. Thus the lines, the cords, have fallen to me in pleasant places. That means I got a good chunk of land when they did the courts for my land. It has fallen in a pleasant, I can make, you know, it's by a river or it's fertile land. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. So this idea, the cord of mine inheritance, it has, I believe, this cord has in mind, has suggestions of the thought of inheritance. And she did get it. As I say, she was married to a son of the prince of Judah. She came into her portion in the land. It was a very pleasant portion. And so, when you grab this cord, you're putting it in the window. Redemption is very important, to know that you're redeemed. But also to know that I possess a spiritual inheritance. I, through the redemptive work of Christ, the scarlet cord, I have a portion. I have an inheritance. God would have you have that firmly before your thoughts. Firmly lay hold of for yourself. How a man like, who is the man that refused to give up his thing? And then he was killed by Jezebel.
Naboth,
okay? Naboth valued that he had a portion from God. He was not prepared to sell it at any price. That's how firmly we should have that before us. That the portion that God has given us. This destiny that we have in Christ, this portion, God would have for us. Well, may that be a reality in our lives. You see, when they came to the land, and they came there, God says, it's all yours. Go get it. Only be strong and courageous. Now, they had to act to get this land. They had to fight for it. They had to contest for it. And God puts it before you. Yes, you're saved. He will not give it to you on a platter. You will have to fight. You will have to contend for it. You will have to act in faith to obtain it, to enjoy it. And may we come to the point in our lives we can say the lines have fallen in pleasant places. Mm-hmm.